Well, those verses we read just now are, I think, very significant. They're significant for each person here, and indeed for everyone living in Europe, because, as I said, we're told how the gospel of Jesus Christ first came to what we now call Europe. Eventually, of course, it was taken from Europe to Africa and to Asia and to the Americas and to the South Sea Islands, but that wasn't until much later. But for the first time, the good news concerning Jesus Christ came into our continent. And Luke here, who wrote the Gospel and this book of Acts, is describing Paul's second missionary journey. And it was an important journey, as I suggest. It took him, first of all, to Macedonia, northern Greece, and to three leading cities there, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And in this chapter, we are told about the way in which he began to speak to people concerning Jesus Christ in Philippi. A church was formed there through his time there. He wasn't there that long, but it was long enough for people to become Christians. And there are three of them mentioned in this chapter. The first was a woman called Lydia, or we might translate that the Lydian woman. She came from Thyatira. Lydia was the name of the ancient kingdom where Thyatira was. And so we might call her the Lydian woman. Her name became Lydia. And she was a businesswoman, a very prosperous businesswoman, who lived in a sizable house. She already worshipped God, we're told, although she was not clear in her mind as to what that meant and who God was. The second person was a slave girl, very different, a fortune teller. Not like modern fortune tellers who tell everybody what they want to hear. This was a fortune teller with some power, some ability to foretell the future. And people realized that, so they exploited her. She became a slave, and her owners exploited her ruthlessly for their own monetary advantage. And she was likewise affected by what Paul said. And then the third person was a jailer. He was in charge of the local prison. He was probably, we are not sure, but he was probably a war veteran. And now he was there as the prison officer in charge of prisoners. He was probably therefore a pretty tough man, a man of the world, but also a family man. And it's possible that he came from the middle classes. So, or what would have been equivalent to our middle classes. So these were the three people that came to know Jesus Christ in Paul's short time in Philippi. Let's just think for a minute about this woman, Lydia, because I think what happened to her is very helpful and instructive for us. She was religious, but she wasn't sure. She had no certainty about that matter. She didn't really know who God was, though she believed in God and worshipped God. And Paul went and met with her and others, he and his colleagues, in a little place near the city wall. There was no synagogue there. Jews weren't allowed to meet, it seems, in a synagogue, or there weren't enough of them, we're not sure. But there was this place for prayer where some women were meeting regularly. And they were devout women, God-fearing women, but as I say, not certain about God and who God really was. So Paul and his companions joined them. We're told that we sat down. Luke is one of them. He's describing what happened, and he uses the word we, that's Paul and I and others, we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. We haven't actually a record here of what Paul said, but we can be in little doubt as to what he said. He would have said what he said on other occasions when he met with people like this. He would have reminded these women of God, who created them, and who created everybody else and the whole cosmos, who created it out of nothing. He would have told them about God intervening in the history of the cosmos many times in the Old Testament, promising that through the nation of Israel, a child would be born, the Messiah, and this child would be his son, and he would give him to the world for a very good reason. He would give him to the world so that the world might come to know God. He would give him to the world of sin and of rebels and of ungodly people, that these people might be changed and come to know God. So Paul would have spoken to them about the God who made the cosmos and who was a God who intervened in the cosmos by sending his son, Jesus Christ. He would have told them about the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign, his rule, his return. He would have reminded them of that. And then he would have said that if they trusted in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had lived for them and died for them, and who now lived that they might know God, if they trusted in him and came to him and turned from their sin and put their confidence in Christ, they would become, as Nathaniel reminded us, God's special people. He would have told them that. He would have told them about the peace that they would know, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the joy of knowing God with them and the presence of God in their lives. He would have told them that they could live and die in the confidence that God was with them and that they were accepted by God and that he, Jesus Christ, was everything that they would ever need. That's what he would have said. And he did this carefully and deliberately and logically, and the women listened. This was something new to them. They hadn't heard about this person, Jesus Christ, before. But as they heard, things began to happen in their lives. And in particular, something happened in Lydia's life. There are three things we're told about her. The first is that she listened. Not many people can do that. Not many people know how to listen. People are usually so full of their own thoughts that they don't listen. She listened. And she listened eagerly. She listened attentively. She wanted to know her prejudices, whatever they were, her background, whatever it was, were put into the background. And she listened to this new message that she'd never heard before. It's not easy to do that, to listen. We're living in a visual age, and the visual is something important, of course, something graphic and pictorial is important. We often learn things through the eye. But sometimes that's to our disadvantage, because in the beginning was the Word, not the picture. And God speaks to us in words. He uses picture words, I know, but it's the Word of God that he uses, his own speech, to communicate with us. So we are to listen. That's not easy. It's not easy because of distractions, because of prejudices, and you know as well as I know how hard sometimes it is really to listen. But she did. And as she listened, something began to happen within her. She was interested enough to listen. What happened within her, we are told, is that the Lord opened her heart. That's the second thing that happened. The Lord opened her heart. Now you'd have thought that her heart was already opened. She was religious, she was sincere, she was devout. Surely this woman knew. But we're told that the Lord opened her heart. So clearly she didn't. And the Bible says that our hearts are hardened. We don't really have open minds and open hearts to what God is saying. None of us. Not just people on the television who tell us about their unbelief. But we're all a bit like that. Our hearts are not open to God. But God opened her heart. Has God opened your heart? Opened it. Opened it up. Opened it up to the truth. I'm sure that what happened was that as Paul spoke, her mind was affected by what she heard. She felt that things were entering into her mind. She was understanding things she'd never understood before. And these were wonderful things. Up to now, her mind had been closed and barred and bolted to this message. But now, the message was penetrating into her mind. And her mind was being stimulated. And then, of course, her affections, her heart was engaged and moved. She was thrilled by what she heard. She was thrilled to hear that there was a person, Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was also the Son of Man, who'd come into the world, who'd lived here, who'd lived just recently, and who'd died and had borne her sin and carried it away and was now alive and was present and could be with her and alongside her. She was thrilled to hear that. Her heart was moved. And her will was engaged and affected. She said, well, I'm going to do something about this. I'm not just going to listen, I'm not just going to understand, I'm not just going to be moved by this, but I'm going to do something about it. She became a Christian. The Lord opened her heart. And that's the great work that God does within us. It's a great work because it occurs right at the center of our personality, where everything happens. It's God's work because we can't do it, only He can open the heart. And it's a good work because it occurs not only as a great work and as God's work, but it occurs within us producing things that nothing else can produce. The goodness that we lack and we need and that God can produce. So the Lord, as she listened, opened her heart to hear what was being said to her concerning herself, God, and Jesus Christ. And then we're told what happened. She listened, and the Lord opened her heart, and she went on listening. She went on hearing. She wanted to know more. She not only wanted to know more, but she was baptized. She thought, I must confess my faith. So she was baptized. Not only was she baptized, but she gathered her household together. And they heard the message, and they were baptized. And not only that, she said to Paul and her and his companions, come and stay with me. She was hospitable. She had a large home. She wanted them to stay with her. So she brought them into her own home and gave them hospitality, thereby becoming a witness to other people as well, so that other people were influenced by what she had come to know also. So the proof of the pudding, if you like, was in the eating. She showed that she was a Christian by her response to what Paul was saying. She believed. She was baptized. She involved her household. She showed hospitality. She became a witness to others as to what had happened to her and opened up her home. And there was no noise or fuss, no blowing of the trumpets, no grandiose schemes. It all happened quietly in that little place by the city wall, as Paul and his companions spoke to this group of women. Now, that's how the gospel came into Europe. And here we are this morning listening to the same message and opening the same Bible that Paul would have opened and hearing about the same person, the same book, the same Savior, and the same God who loved us and who loves us, who wants us to know Him, that we can come to know Him, as we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sins and took them away and is alive and comes to us and is with us when we trust in Him throughout life's journey, helping us in our own lives, helping us to confess Him, giving us a responsibility for our families so we want them to know as well, giving us a concern for other people so we become hospitable, and also wanting others to share with us the good news. That's Christian conversion. That's what happens when people are converted. And it's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful change that occurs. As I said, it's a great work. It's God's work. It's a good work. And it's the work that God, by His Spirit, did in her, He can do in us. And the reason why we've had the children here this week is that we want that to happen to them. We want them to come to know the one whom we've come to know through God's love and mercy. And that's really why God has given us this concern and love for others, and why God Himself wants us to share the good news so that others come to know Him as well. And our prayer is that everybody, like Lydia, will hear the good news, and that as they listen, God will open their hearts. And as He opens their hearts, this marvelous work will begin within them. And it's only the beginning, of course. Paul wrote about it himself. He who has begun a good work in you, he said, will complete it. He'll go on to complete it. But it's a marvelous thing to know God's love in Jesus Christ. And we trust that every one of us will come to know that and will turn to Him, put our confidence in Him, and realize there's nothing we can do. Lydia was a religious, upright, moral woman. But she knew there was nothing she could do to please God. But Jesus Christ had done it all. So her trust became firm and sure in Him. And may ours be likewise firm and sure in Him.